This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our special episode, Destination Moon. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. The race to get to the moon brought together the brightest minds in science, engineering, technology, but the spark that really started this great mission was politics. Space exploration and politics have had a long and complicated relationship. Alan Yu has more.
Landing on the moon seemed like the pinnacle of human achievement. And to this day, people wonder, if we went to the moon in the 60s and created this moment that united all of humanity, why is it taking this long to go back? Vice President Mike Pence posed this question earlier this year at a meeting of the National Space Council.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Vice President of the United States.
He was wondering why NASA had told him it would take till 2028 to get back to the moon.
It took us 8 years to get to the moon the first time, 50 years ago, when we had never done it before. And it shouldn't take us 11 years to get back.
We don't have the political will that provides the money to do it. It's not much more complicated than that.
That's Casey Dreyer. His official title is Senior Space Policy Advisor and Chief Advocate at the Planetary Society, a foundation that promotes space science and exploration. But really, he's the biggest space fan, and his job is to get people excited about space.
Space.
It's also really important to remember why Apollo happened in the first place wasn't because of some idealistic, soaring vision of exploration.
When we remember the Apollo missions, we remember Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, Michael Collins, and this legendary speech from President John F. Kennedy.
We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
And Kennedy was ready to spend a lot of money on this.
This year's space budget is three times what it was in January 1961, and it is greater than the space budget of the previous 8 years combined. That budget now stands at $5.4 billion a year.
That was 1960s money. It would be more than $45 billion now.
The reason why Kennedy put the money in wasn't because he was a big space fan. He is on record as saying he couldn't care that much less about space.
Because I'm not that interested in space. I think it's good. I think we ought to know about it. We're ready to stand.
He said, like, if I could have done this big spectacular thing and solved water desalination, I would have done that instead of Apollo. The only reason he committed the resources to Apollo that he did was that he saw Apollo as a front in the Cold War.
That we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend.
This is war by another means.
Oppose any foe to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
It remains that it was seen as a national security prerogative, and it was funded as such, right? In terms of how much money was spent and how quickly, you really don't see expenditures like that happen except for warfare in democracies.
The big spending boost that NASA got went away not long after Neil Armstrong and the other astronauts came back. President Richard Nixon welcomed Armstrong and the Apollo 11 crew back in 1969. And there were six more Apollo missions. But by the very next year, in 1970...
he cut NASA's budget by a huge amount and no longer said that NASA was a special program. It just wasn't worth the effort, that human spaceflight would be a regular part of government and it would compete for government resources like every other aspect.
Poppy Northcutt worked at Mission Control during the Apollo program.
You know, it's a pleasant memory, there's no doubt about that, but also sort of sad and bittersweet, too.
She says NASA already had plans for more ambitious missions to the moon and Mars, and she wishes they could have done those, too.
In Congress's mind, and perhaps in the public mind as well, they viewed it as a race with the Russians, and once the race with the Russians was won, there's not anything more to do.
So the government cut NASA's budget, and it stayed low for decades. And NASA's crewed space missions stayed in low Earth orbit ever since, which is about 1,000th of the way from here to the moon.
Hello from the International Space Station.
So it's kind of like going a few blocks instead of traveling across the country. Then, in 2003, the Space Shuttle Columbia was destroyed above Earth's atmosphere. All seven crew members died.
Their mission was almost complete, and we lost them so close to home.
After that disaster,
it provided a moment for the White House and a lot of other folks in government and Congress to reflect on, why do we send humans into space? Why are they risking their lives? What are they going to achieve out of it?
Columbia's last mission was to carry equipment for science experiments on spaceflight and microgravity. After that massive setback, George W. Bush came up with a new, bold mission for NASA. Perhaps with the thought that if we're going to put lives at risk with space exploration, we might as well shoot for the moon.
Our third goal is to return to the moon by 2020 as the launching point for missions beyond.
They called the program Constellation. The idea was to go back to the moon, live and work on the lunar surface, and eventually go further.
With the experience and knowledge gained on the moon, we will then be ready to take the next steps of space exploration, human missions to Mars and to worlds beyond.
Constellation was a program to return us to the moon. It was variously described as Apollo on steroids or going back to the moon to stay.
The people at NASA got to work on a bigger rocket, a lunar lander three times bigger than the one for the Apollo missions. Neil Armstrong was on the moon for a few hours. This one would stay a full week. NASA built a life-sized mock-up for testing. They had a three-step design process. The lander has to do the most basic job, get to the moon and back. And it has to keep the astronauts safe. And only then do they think about, what do we add that would help the astronauts succeed in their missions? In 2008, Eugene Cernan, the last astronaut to walk on the moon, came to visit.
Hey guys, this is Gene Cernan.
NASA had gotten so far in the design process that this was his advice to Kathy Lorini, the project manager for the lunar lander.
Hey, make sure you provide coffee. When you're on these missions, you're far away from Earth. You're roughing it up. You don't have a great place to sleep. It's hard to go to the bathroom. What would really have been nice was to be able to wake up in the morning and have a nice hot cup of coffee.
This sounds kind of funny now, but Kathy says it actually tells us people had spent a lot of time on the lander.
When we got to the point of, what do we need to do to ensure the mission is successful?
It's time for the percolator.
You know, there were still people on my team that said, you know, we can't afford the mass of a coffee maker. And others, like myself, who said, come on, we have to find a couple of kilograms to be able to launch a coffee maker.
So they were really far along. It came as a total shock to them when the Obama administration canceled Constellation in 2010. There's this moment in the press conference with Charles Bolden, the NASA administrator at the time, when you can hear his voice crack and he is visibly holding back tears.
To people who are working on these programs, this is like a death in the family. So, you know, everybody needs to understand that. And we need to give them time to grieve, and then we need to give them time to recover.
A new president can mean different priorities for the human spaceflight program at NASA every 4 or 8 years. Casey Dreyer says that can be incredibly frustrating.
Because we have to start anew every couple of years and we lose the effort and momentum that we've had.
George W. Bush promised an Apollo-sized program, but he could not pair it with Apollo-sized funding.
The political support for that initiative never really materialized. And by the time the Obama administration came in, they were looking at a program that was billions of dollars over budget, years behind schedule, and it was unclear what level of success they could expect out of that and when.
After that, Casey says NASA got smart.
We're building a big rocket. We're building a crew capsule that can stay out in space for a long time.
NASA decided to build things that would kind of work regardless of where the next president wants to go.
Yeah, you can send it to the moon, you can probably send it to an asteroid, maybe through some modifications you can send things to Mars, but you don't need to start over every 4 years. You're seeing actually quite a bit of this with the Obama to Trump transition, where even though the destination changed from asteroid slash Mars to moon, none of the actual programs themselves at NASA were canceled because of that.
And there's something else NASA doesn't like to talk about, because it removes the romance of space travel. The human spaceflight program is a giant job creation program, and that is what politicians care about.
There's a reason that the Apollo testing grounds for giant rockets were down in Mississippi, because one of the senators of Mississippi was on the Appropriations Committee in the Senate that paid for this program to happen at the time in the 1960s.
Casey says NASA and the space industry create jobs. They shouldn't be shy about it. It's part of the big picture, and it's how we can pay for space exploration.
This is the system that we have in the United States. How do you work in that system to advance things that are really ambitious and idealistic and frankly beautiful? And what other government agency has fans like this? You don't see the Department of Agriculture having people call themselves agriculture fanatics.
People buy NASA t-shirts and pins and hats because space exploration is cool. That's why we make movie after movie about the astronauts, the gripping human drama, life and death stakes, but we don't watch movies about the politics of paying for that stuff.
NASA is one of the purest expressions of human curiosity that we see in the entire world.
That story was reported by Alan Yu.